But those who live the Psalm 1 life will be different from those living around them. People on the street, and many even sitting in church this morning, church, this church, other churches, every church, it seems, those living the Psalm 1 life, I want to say they're going to be the exception rather than the rule. They are light and they are salt in their world, and they are light and they are salt in themselves as well. Wherever they go and whoever's company they may be found, someone used the word, and I like it, they are radically exceptional among most. I like that. And when you look closely at this psalm and you read who this one that God said is blessed, you would have to say, and you're being honest, I would have to say that they are indeed radically exceptional. But this is the kind of person that God would have each of us to be who named the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This should be the description of you and me as followers of Christ, what we see here in this psalm. And so I'll ask the question, and I'll ask it again. Honestly, humbly, does this describe you? That describe me? So here in our text, we find a description of a life that God chooses to bless and will be a blessing to others as well. We are told that we are in this world, but we are not to be what? Of this world. Isn't that what we find here in Psalm 1? Yes, in this world, but not of this world. You know, and the word is separation. It really is. I mean, not like, you know, like the monks who lived in a cave somewhere. We don't find that in Scripture. We don't find that. We don't find that admonition. Yes, you know, be among them, but don't be like them. Go ye therefore in all the world and preach the gospel. That's got to be out there among them, but never what? Like them. You know, someone used the illustration, it's in the world but not of the world. You know, it's like a boat, you know, in the water. The boat is in the water, but we don't want the water where? In the boat. That's pretty simple, isn't it? It really is. And this is seen, this is illustrated by the individuals that are mentioned here. Verse 1. Let's read it through, okay? Read it together. You've been scanning down through it. It's time to read it all. Psalm 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. And his leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. Verse 4. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The way of the wicked will perish. You know, this one who is described, who is praised, who is blessed, you know, they are seen first of all by their walk. We often find that word, don't we, in Scripture? New Testament. You know, I think of that little chorus that many of us learned in Sunday school, right? Some of you are singing it in your head right now, aren't you? Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful of your walk. Really, it's an illustration of your life, isn't it? You know, where you go, yeah, that's part of it. But just the walk of life, the direction of your life, the things of your life, the priorities of your life, the attitudes of your heart. All these things. You know, it's interesting physically how people walk. You know, to observe how people walk, you know, and you can learn a little bit about them. Some briskly and heads in the air, look like they're going somewhere and they got something on their mind, and others, you know, are they going to get there today? It looks like they're going to a hanging or something. It might be their own. And somewhere in between. We can't learn everything. We don't know. But yet, there's something, you know, interesting. You watch somebody walk. I remember years ago when you weren't embarrassed to go to the beach, and we would go to Atlantic City and sit on the boardwalk. And then in the evenings, as it got cooler, just to sit there and eat ice cream and watch people walk by. It was just entertaining. We learn a lot by people's walk, and in a spiritual realm, certainly. Certainly in a spiritual realm as well. Their walk, their life, their priorities, their friends, their entertainment, their all these things, their interaction. But God, it's interesting, but God's warning to his people, and we see this same thing all the way through Scripture, particularly so clearly in the Old Testament. God speaking to his people. Let me read God's word, God's warning from Deuteronomy chapter 8. God speaking to his own about this walk. If you forget the Lord your God and walk after other gods, and worship and bow down to them, I testify to you today that you will surely be destroyed. That's pretty clear, isn't it? We get God's priority for his own and how we walk, how we live our lives. And we find it here in Psalm 1. We get instructions about the do's and the don'ts and the warnings and so it's pretty clear. God cares about our walk. Our world, like never before, calls us, tempts us to walk in its ways, to embrace its philosophies, accept its morals, promising what? Fulfillment and happiness and joy. And just come our way. Just come my way, the world said to you and I. And we hear it all the time, see it all the time on TV. Billboards. Boy, driving up 95, driving up 75, some of those billboards, you catch a glimpse, you got to look away. You know, it's not about McDonald's or gas is $3.50 a head or any of that stuff. And that's our world. And it's very public, isn't it? Not things that, you know, you and I, most of us growing up, that you know, the bad boys in the class would whisper about in the corner somewhere. What a world. Well, Psalm 1, written so many hundreds of years ago, is so very important for you and I as believers to be reminded of today. But here God said that the life of blessing does not come in the world's way, nor is it found on their paths. This life, this separated life, is what God is calling each of his own to follow after. That's you and that's me, as believers. As those who confess the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And to follow a different way, and then the claim that we know Christ is a little lie. That's pretty clear, isn't it? The claim that we know Christ, but to walk and live in a different way, we are living a lie. So our walk, and then the second phrase there in verse 1, our what? Our stand. How blessed a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners. And the word stand here, literally, is a word that is used for a statue or a monument. I know they've been tearing down a few of those lately, but generally we get the idea of a statue or a monument somewhere that often is something that's been there a long time. It doesn't move, and it's not going anywhere, right? So
what's the writer saying? He said, blessed are you who don't stand with those unbelievers whose lives and whose minds and whose hearts are fixed, they're stubborn, they're unmoving. Don't walk with, don't stand with, don't follow after. They need Christ, yes they do, but that's not what it's saying here. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little feet, where you stand. And whose company for very long. And for, need to ask ourselves, for what purpose am I there? Really? Really? A person God blesses doesn't take his place. He doesn't line up. He is not counted with stubborn sinners. You see that there? It is, isn't it? Turn with me to Psalm 40 for a minute. Psalm 40, just back there a little ways. I think that this is, I ran into this as I was reading, and just kind of a summary of some of these things that we're just saying right here. The blessings and the warning. Psalm 40. First, let's read the first four verses. The writer here, David, he said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a what? Rock. Upon a rock, making my footstep firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. And now verse 4, how does that start? How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Isn't that what we see right there in Psalm 1, the very first verse, verse 4? There's been a change. Things are different. What was that chorus? How did that go? Things are different now. Something's happened to me since I gave my life to Jesus. I trust that's your song. That's your testimony. And certainly that is what we find here in Psalm 1, what this life should look like. And there's a change of heart, change of direction, change of walk, a change of where we stand. All these things. You know, the world stands on slippery ground, confused and ever-changing. Not like what? We keep reading in our scripture here. Not like a tree that's planted. And not like a rock that's not moving. Things change every day. What's accepted and not accepted. What's in and what's out. And calling good evil and evil good. That's our world. We're called to stand, not with them. But so often we need to put our big boys and girls pants on and stand against them. Salt and light. Salt and light. You know this morning if you are living this blessed life or you're not. You know, I know. You know on what and on whom your mind and your heart are set. You know, reading through here, I couldn't help but think of those words of Joshua. What did Joshua say about these things? But as for what? Me and my house, we will what? We will serve the Lord. Is that what you see in this man and woman in Psalm 1? We need to be reminded. I do. I believe many of you as well. One of those old hymns that we often sing. And I love the old hymn because it reminds me of truths of Scripture and give words of praise and adoration, testimony to our Lord. And the one that readily comes to mind was, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is what?
Sinking sand.
Yeah, you know that one, doesn't it? But isn't that what we find here in Psalm 1? It is.
You know, and when a believer lives that kind of life, others will see, and some will dismiss. Oh, and that holy roller next door. Sometimes I see him out there in his porch, and I think he's reading his Bible. Huh! Now, who does that remind you of, reading the scripture, praying in front of the window when he was being threatened to be thrown in with the lions? Well, what was his name, Mike?
Daniel.
Huh. It'd be nothing new to be able to be a public testimony, not hiding it under a bushel, no. All these things. And so God here, he speaks to our walk, he speaks to our stand, and then the latter part of verse 1, he speaks to what? To where we take our seats, right? Isn't that what it is? He talks to where we take our seats, where we settle down, where we feel comfortable. And the word here, he said, not among scoffers. Some translation use the word mockers. And what do we know from Scripture when it talks about seated? Now, when Jesus, he was among the multitude, when the priests went into the temple, those who were teaching into the synagogue, what did they do? It was the teachers, they did what? What was their position? They sat down, right? They sat down. The seated position is a place of the teacher. And this we need to understand that, the bigger scope of Scripture, as we look at this here. The seated position is the seat of the teacher. And here, those who do not know God's voice, They are listening to the voice of the world. Those who are don't enjoy this blessing and this carefulness that God is calling each one of us to, they hear the voice of the world, and they begin to be a part of the world, no different. Standing. Then they join in promoting the ways of the world, the words of the world, the actions of the world, the lifestyle of the world. But the wise man and woman will be different in their walk, different in their stand, and different in their speech. Different in their speech. You know, the old word is separation. We don't hear that much anymore, do we? Separation. Separation. You know, and the next word, look at verse 2 with me. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. The next word is meditation, and also along with that word is the word delight. Meditation and delight. Delight, to get at the root of that word, it means to take intense pleasure in something. What comes to your mind? Now just kind of put yourself outside for a minute. What gives you intense pleasure? Well, you know, I was thinking about that, and there was something that popped in my mind. And I'll just share it. In one word, it's scoops. How many know what scoops is? And not just scoops generally. No. It's in the back freezer. It's not up front. It's very dark chocolate ice cream. Extra dark. And, you know, I try to always get one scoop. And sometimes, and you know, and I got a method here. You know, I mean, I'm talking about pleasure, delight, right? Yeah, sugar cone, right? And then you get a cup and you put it in upside down. And then you kind of use the sugar cone as kind of a spoon. It's kind of a sacred moment for me when I like to do it alone. You know, if I go with you, I might have that, but I like going by myself. Nobody, I'm sorry, I just, and I'll tell you one more thing. So last night I'm rewriting my notes, right? And I'm doing this little thing right here that I'm telling you about.
And so I get up and I go to the freezer and it's not extra dark chocolate, but it's chocolate almond. That's not too bad. I wasn't going to tell you that, but back to our scripture. But those who are wise and blessed, they love God's word. They delight in reading, meditating, hearing it proclaimed. The word of God, to use scripture, dwells in them richly. Does that describe you? Does that describe you? Me? If it doesn't, we're missing some of the blessings of God that He has wants to pour out on your life and mine. We so often satisfy ourselves with secondary things. I mean, there can be very good things, but the best things we find here, according to God. So these blessed ones, they enjoy and they rest upon the truth and they love the Savior to whom it speaks. I read an old preacher, just one line that he wrote somewhere back in the 1500s. He said, when I can, I find a nook in the book. You get that? He said, I find a nook and I find the book. I don't think I have to explain that, what he's saying. Honestly, how often in our lives do we set ourselves apart for a bit and we find somewhere in our life, in our homes, a nook where we can take time to read and meditate on the book. I said this before, I don't know how long ago, but you've heard it before. It was said by Billy Graham, by one of his intimate friends, that they said there always seemed to be an open Bible somewhere near him whenever we visited him. There always seemed to be an open Bible somewhere near him whenever we visited him. Did that not show in his life, Billy Graham? It was easy to use Christian words and Christian phrases and yet there to be nothing in our lives that is continually feeding our soul. Nothing or little of a nook and a book in our life. It shouldn't be so. I'm talking to you and I'm talking to me here. This life that God wants to bless. And we're not talking about physical things here. We're talking about real, deep, spiritual, eternal things. A companionship between ourselves and the Lord. A companionship between ourselves and God's people. A steadfast heart towards the things of God and the ways of God, the work of God, the people of God. It's easy to have little time for God's people and no interest in Christian service or to the lost, to the hurting. Ours can be, while professing to know Christ, yet in our walk and in our daily living, ours is a life of lying. We know the words, but boy, how does it translate into our lives, really? I ask myself that question as I ask you. We often see a picture of many physically malnourished, and it breaks our heart, doesn't it? And we as a church and others, Christian and non-Christian, there's all kinds of ministries that help to feed the malnourished in our world. But yet, there's a malnourished spiritually as well. So many were malnourished spiritually, people, Christians. And whether it's physical or spiritual, Being malnourished makes us susceptible to all kinds of diseases and sicknesses, doesn't it? It does. And for the spiritually malnourished, we're susceptible to doubts and fears, and we're open to accepting the world's ways and practices. We have nothing to fight against it. Oh no, this is what God says. This is what God has promised. This is God's way. This is the right path. But we don't know it. We haven't been reminded of it. We're not meditating on it. We're not delighting in these things. We are prone to sickness, spiritual sickness of all sorts. And Satan is jumping up and down being happy. How sad. We need to hear, I think, sometimes. Just some plain things. I do. And I trust you do. And I trust you are. This morning. So, separation. Meditation. Look at verse 3. We're not going to make it through, and that's not the plan. We won't. He'll be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. I've got a little note in my Bible. I don't know when I put it there. That last part. In whatever he does, he prospers. Successful in God's eyes. I like that. Yeah. Successful in God's eyes.
Yeah, good.
Meditation, separation. What other word can we use? How about irrigation? Right? Planted by rivers of... Planted. It's not miscellaneous. You know, God has put us and he placed us and he wants to use us at a certain place. And right now, that's where you are, and that's this very place, each one. You're visiting here today. It might be this place. It might be another place. But God has a place for you. And he'll water and he'll use you. But first, he'll plant you. We need to have that deep in our hearts, brothers and sisters. This is where I believe God wants me to be. And this is where I want God to use me here. Often I talk to people about church membership, and we'll be talking about that again soon. People come and they're here a few weeks. They ask about church membership sometimes. And I'll tell them, I said, I want you to be here a while. I want you to see who we are and what we do. And I'll pray with you that the Lord will take you. He will lead you to the place where you can best serve him. I always add that last part. And I'll be honest, and I'll speak more about this at another time. You know, we talk about church membership, and many today, you know, they like to be able to say, well, I belong to, and you finish it. But if the only time that you're a part of the church is there for out there on a Sunday morning, I would say to you, honestly, don't bother. That's not what we're called to be about as a family of God and as church members. An hour on Sunday morning? What? I mean, how do you know what's going on? How do you know what the needs are? How do you know that? We'll save that for another day. I want you to know, as we kind of draw to a close, that there's no legalism here. But it's living a life, being careful where we stand. Being careful where we walk. Being careful, you know, with whom we speak and have our conversations and who we listen to. Who we spend our time with and who we listen to on media and who we read. All these things. But it's not legalism, but it's God's smile. It's God's spirit flowing upon and through such as those who are described here in Psalm 1 and throughout all of God's Word. Is this you? Planted? Growing? Being regularly watered? By the Word of God, by brothers and sisters in Christ whose heart is and often conversation is on things above? Or is your circle different than that? Are you about the Lord's business? It's not outward prosperity which this Christian most desires and values. It is soul prosperity which he or she longs for. Let me add one note here. You're reading down through here. You get to verse 5. Let me just add one note there. If you read that verse, you kind of say, let me read it. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Let me just add, just simply for explanation, if you're reading that verse, as you perhaps meditate on this afternoon, I would encourage you to do that. They, that is the wicked, they shall stand before God to be judged. But when they stand before God, they will not be acquitted. Got that? They will stand before God to be judged, but they will not stand before God to be acquitted. Guilty. Unforgiven. Depart from me, for I what? Never knew you. Is that pretty clear? Look at the last verse. Our time is gone. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will what?
Perish.
Will perish. Two things. Quote. He who reads, prays, and meditates will ever see the work which God has given him to do, the power by which to perform it, and the times, places, and opportunities for doing these things by which God can obtain most glory and Jesus said, it is said of Jesus in Acts 1:1, Jesus began to both do and to teach. You get that? When Jesus walked this earth, he began to do and to teach. At least twice in the New Testament we find that about Jesus. There's a doing in our walk. And like Jesus, there's a teaching. And we do that by our countenance. We do that by our conversation. We do it where we stand. And we do it as we speak. And we do it with those who we spend the most time with in our lives, who help to feed us and we feed them back. All these things. I think of the parable that Jesus taught in Matthew 13. I think it's verses 41 to 45 or 6. That'll be your homework. That's simpler, right? Look that up this afternoon. Matthew 13, 41 to 45. It's a parable of the one who searched and found the pearl of great price. You know what he paid for that? You remember? He sold what?
Everything.
All that he had. Thank you, Levine. And this is, you know, this really is a call to commitment here in Psalm 1. You know, it takes a real commitment to follow after these things. And it may call us in real separation in some of our lives to follow after this one that God says is blessed of him. Here in Psalm 1. A real commitment. And I'd call you to that today. Sold all that he had in order to make this pearl of great price his very own. Well, there's more. Righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Who's the righteous? They that endeavor righteous living in themselves and have Christ's righteousness imputed to them. I like that, don't you? The righteous. They that endeavor endeavor righteous living in themselves and have Christ's righteousness imputed to them. Thank you, Thomas Whitlock, 1586. It hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. So much more, but yet I think that the message this morning and certainly the message of Psalm 1 is a call to commitment, and I trust that you have heard. And you look carefully at your life and you ask yourself, how am I measuring up? Where am I walk? And with whom do I stand for? And with what and whom do I stand against? And then there's, who am I listening to? How's my speech? How is it really?